This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Hey there, folks. Good evening and welcome inside the WOKV Jaguar Central Studios inside Jacksonville Municipal Stadium. Time for another edition of Jaguars This Week. It's presented every Wednesday night by our friends at Aetna, and it is part, hopefully, of your workday, weekday environment. 355-NFL-1 if you'd like to join us on the program this evening. 355-6351. Jeff Lagerman is here. Vic Ketchman still sitting on a mountaintop somewhere in North Carolina.
Taking a break again.
I don't know whether he has shaved his head, wearing a toga, but he is searching for his inner zen.
Well, and we're gonna kind of keep the same kind of progression of guests
right
through the dead zone.
Okay.
You know, last week we had Sean Considine, and this week we're going to have Rashad Jennings, who running back for the Jaguars. Pitt, not a Pitt graduate,
well, he
but
went
started
to Pitt,
at Pitt.
Transferred.
Ended up at Liberty due to an illness with his father. And so, and the rookies literally just got back from the NFL Rookie Symposium, so looking forward to asking him how that was.
So when I go do TV, you're going to bring him on?
Yes, we are.
And you're two Virginia guys that'll have a conversation.
Yeah.
Here's the one thing, and I've talked to a number of coaches and some folks over in Gene Smith's department about Jennings, and the thing is, they were stunned that he was on the board past the third round.
Now, there was a running back that went to Pitt who was drafted
by
the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, he is a Brian, what can I think of his
Westbrook.
Name? Westbrook. Yeah, Bryant Westbrook kind of guy.
And the interesting thing is that when Rashad Jennings was at Pitt, he was the starter over McCoy. Now, obviously, there's, you know, a difference in sometimes in development of players. You know, some players come in and they're men.
Right.
Sometimes it takes a guy a couple years to develop into that man's body.
Right.
So you don't know where they are at in that stage of development, because that's one thing that I learned, you know, coming out of high school. I wasn't a man when I got to college. I mean, it took time for my body to develop. Some guys come into college, they're ready to roll. I mean, they've got the body of a 22-year-old at 18 years old.
And Herschel Walker's a guy that had the body of a 28-year-old.
Well, yeah. As soon as he came out of high school.
Right.
I mean, the guy probably could have went right to the pros.
Few and far between are those players.
It really is in football, but looking forward to talking with him about the symposium. Supposedly they had some great speakers there. Maurice Jones-Drew was there.
Really?
I guess to talk to the rookies, and so we'll ask him exactly what role that Mojo had.
He's been busy. He was up at the broadcaster's boot camp earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was last week, actually, that he was up there as well.
Yeah, he's definitely got a future in broadcast. I mean, you worked with him with the television show.
For
and,
sure.
A great personality.
No doubt.
And he definitely has what it takes to show people that side of him. And a lot of people don't have that talent. Joe Montana didn't have it.
You know the thing he's developing? He's developing the ability to tell you he thinks that you're full of it, too. You know, when he first came on, he just kind of smile and say the nice things. And I heard him. He was on an NFL.com chat today. I've heard him on ESPN.
It's an interaction.
Yeah, he does now.
It's not one-sided.
Engage you and tell you exactly what he thinks. Real quick, back to Jennings.
Okay.
And I mentioned that I've talked to some folks about him. And the thing that stands out is, you know, there was talk when Fred was released that Greg Jones was going to step in and be the guy that was the 1-2 punch with Maurice. Doesn't appear that's the case now.
Well, it may be. I mean, you don't know. I mean, he still is a rookie.
You're right, but it appears like people think Jennings could contribute and get some of that.
Well, he could, and in my perfect world that I envision for this team, if Rashard Jennings looks in pads like he does in no pads, then he's going to be the guy. Greg Jones is a fantastic fullback. His best position is a fullback.
So you're saying, and this is what I was kind of getting to, is that if you can get 6 or 8 carries a ball game, more if you need it, out of Jennings, then you can leave Greg Jones in the role that's best suited to him.
I think so. And I still think that there's a small role. I mean, obviously, if you've got all three of them healthy, at many points during the season, you're not going to have all three healthy. Maybe for a large portion of the season, you may not have all three healthy.
Well,
you
Greg finished the season on IR, right.
Yeah, so you may end up having only two at times. And I think that Greg Jones certainly can fulfill that role, much like the guy in Baltimore did, who's not a sensational back.
You're talking about LaRon James.
What is his name?
Why can't I think of his name? The kid from Alabama.
The big guy.
Yeah, oh yeah, he had a tremendous season last year. Went to the Pro Bowl.
He was a bowling ball, and he'd fall forward for a few yards. You know, but he was nothing spectacular. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that if that's your personality and you can still strike the big plays. But I want to have a guy who has the ability to be a home run back. And we know that Maurice can be a home run back because when he touches the ball, he can go. He has the speed to go the distance. And from watching Rashard Jennings and also looking at what his 40 times supposedly were at the combine and at college, he is a home run type guy.
Right. Big, strong. I've said it three different times. I'll say it one more time. When I got to Mobile for the Senior Bowl, I mean, this guy just stood out. He was running all over the field in a helmet. LaRon McClain.
There
you go. Thank you to whoever called with that one. I mean, you could see. Look at the size of that guy. What are the flames on that helmet? Where did that guy play school? Liberty. Gotcha.
Liberty.
Jennings.
And he's a big back, and so, you know, I think he's going to be a nice compliment to start with for a Maurice Jones-Drew, provided that he's going to be what we expect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
my question to you is, and I haven't seen Maurice in a couple of weeks. I know he had a pretty good spring.
Mm-hmm.
Still think 20 touches a game is the magic number for him to keep him healthy and be productive?
Well, the one thing that I'm looking forward to seeing, and I think a lot of this depends on the development of a backup running back or a complement back, is where is he going to get those touches at? Is it going to be as a receiver, as a return guy, as a ball carrier? And he's going to get them in all three categories. But what will be the mix?
Okay.
You know, he can't have 28 to 30 touches a game. Now, maybe occasionally. But I think in a perfect world, and he said it. He said it best, you know, 20, 25 touches a game.
15 handoffs?
Yeah, I would think so. And, you know, you'd like in a perfect world, you'd like to have a game in which you have – you know, 25 carries in a game. So you figure somebody's got to get the remaining 10. If Maurice is going to have 15 carries, 5 touches or catches, and then maybe another couple touches as a returner, whether it be kickoff returner or punt returner.
Right.
So I'm still waiting to see the day when he is an electric punt returner. People have forgotten.
All Pac-10.
In 3 years.
Reggie Bush.
He was the man in the Pac-10 as a punt returner. We haven't seen that yet. I want to see that.
All right, well, it's time for me to go down the hall to CBS 47 and do a quick television update. That means Rashard Jennings joins Jeff Lagerman next right here on Jaguars This Week. This last portion, by the way, brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand-new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. We're back on News Talk Radio WOKV right after this.
Back on Jaguars This Week, Jeff Lagerman here, and we would like to welcome in the Jaguars running back, Rashard Jennings, fresh back from the Rookie Symposium, the NFL Rookie Symposium. And Rashard, thank you for taking the time. I know that you guys just got back into town, and I appreciate you taking the time.
Not at all. I appreciate the opportunity to come out here and talk.
Now, Rashard, now a lot of people, you do an internet search, and you put in Rashard Jennings. And you know what's amazing is that half of the websites come up with your first name spelled Rashard, and the other half, it's Rashard. So and for many years in this market, David Garrard had his name pronounced Gerard. Tell the people the correct spelling and the correct pronunciation so they can get it right out of the gate.
My name is Rashard Jennings, and it is spelled R-A-S-H-A-D. Rashard.
It's amazing. I mean, when I knew you were going to come on, you type in Rashard Jennings, and all the websites come up Rashard. I'm going, wait a minute, it's Rashard. So I'm just glad. I'm glad that you straightened everybody out. So how was the NFL Rookie Symposium, and where was it at?
It was in West Palm Beach in Florida, and we learned a lot. I loved it. I enjoyed every moment of it being there, and I got an opportunity to catch up with some of the guys that we was competing with throughout a college career, and meeting up with some friends and the guys you were training with, and got an opportunity to talk to a lot of the veterans and hear from them. and just what we're going to embark in as an NFL player now. And just we learned so much. It was so much thrown at us within those 3 days that, you know, you couldn't get every single pencil detailed note that you possibly could have. But I was just writing, running out of ink as much as I possibly could, so I can bring it back and study it. But we had tons of fun. And like I said, it was a learning experience. It was just kind of like, you know, I really appreciate what was done. And hearing the veterans, and some of them didn't have the opportunity that we have.
Yeah, there used to not be a symposium.
Being blessed with that, of getting to know what you're about to go into before you go into it. They just had to go into it.
Now you kind of took me by surprise there. You said that you took notes.
Yes, sir.
How many people did you see taking notes like you?
You know, you saw a couple guys. A lot of them, you know, kind of just, you know, they were taking it all in. I'm sure they were taking mental notes. But for me personally, I just like writing it down, because it's amazing. It amazes me all the time what you can hear and you forget. And it amazes me how, like, you can hear something that you already know, but when you write it down, it strikes you a little bit different. It's just like hearing any inspirational speaker or going to church or going to school. Somebody can say the same thing every single day of your life, and for some reason, that one day, it just hits you different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, taking notes, you never know. You can hear something over and over and over that you already know the answer to, but for some reason, it triggers another thought for something else that you didn't know.
Right.
So it's just, I just like taking notes, and especially hearing from the veterans. That's where I want to be. We got to hear Hall of Famers and people that was undrafted and guys that work hard. I want to be that guy. So of course I'm going to listen to those guys that I want to be one day.
That's very refreshing to hear that you enjoyed it and you really took advantage of your time there. Now, you talked about these veteran guys that have been doing it for a long time and Hall of Fame type players. From what I understand, Chris Carter spoke, Maurice Jones-Drew was there, as well as Jerome Bettis. Who was the person that you most enjoyed listening to?
I enjoyed every single person. Chris Carter ended it, and Jerome Bettis, he was on the panel with a lot of other guys, and Maurice was as well. And they all was just very helpful and very inspiring. And you got to hear a little bit of, because everybody comes from a different background, and you got to see the perspective of where they came from and how they see the NFL as a business. And everybody sees it the exact same way, as a business. And it's something that you have to work at. This is a privilege. And a lot of people, you know, especially the veterans, were saying that it's so much of an opportunity here that some people are going to miss because they're too busy, caught up in just day to day, and not realizing that, you know, simple things, that you only get paid 16 weeks out of a year, and you got to budget money financially. You have to know how to carry yourself. You're always being watched. You're always being seen. What you say on Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, the little things that you would think somebody would know, and they do. But like I said, just to hear it over and over and over and see how important it is to people that you look up to, you're inspired by, and I still look up to it. It's funny. I get to look up to Maurice Jones-Drew every single day.
Right.
And, you know, it's cool. We got the same agent and on the same team. I'm blessed to be around a guy of his character and his talent, his caliber, and how he carries himself. So, it's funny. I take notes on everything he say, and I see him every day. So it's funny.
Now, you heard from players and experience and their experiences that you would hope that some of the young guys could learn from. Now, as far as the time at the symposium, what surprised you that you may have not have known? Like you said, you knew a lot of the stuff already, but you still wrote it down to maybe refresh your memory later on. What was the one thing that you learned there that you thought was the most valuable?
Like I said, I it was a lot that I learned, and it was a lot that refreshed my memory. But some of the things that the question was, what is something that I did not know going into that I was kind of, I didn't know that or think about it that way. Well, far as far as playing the game, you always hear about how to take care of your body, how to prepare yourself for a season, and how to get ready for camp. You hear about a lot of how to, and everybody can tell you how to, but it's very simple. You know, everybody has a way to do something, but I heard apply yourself. And, you know, the applicant, anybody can tell you how to do something, but everybody can't do it.
Right.
I could tell, I mean, it's very simple. You can tell somebody to go get the mail out the mailbox. They know how to do it, you know, put one foot in front of the other until you get to the mailbox, open the mailbox. But it's just the fact of applying yourself and what you can get when you actually put forth the effort in planning how to do things and writing it down and taking it personal. Like, you want to be the best, what it is to be the best, and you're hearing it from the best. And that all of them was kind of getting to the point of, you know, you're going to have to make a decision in your life what is important to you and actually apply it. Because everybody in there heard the exact same things, but statistics say that not everybody is going to apply what we just heard.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about how-tos, and you learned a lot of how-tos. Now, in the instruction manual on how to get to the NFL, there was never a script that said you go to Pitt and then you transfer to Liberty to make it to the NFL. Tell people about that. Because it's a little different.
You know, coming out of high school, I went to a private school, and I got an opportunity I had a few offers coming out of high school, and the offer that I chose is Pittsburgh University. It fit what, you know, my style as a running back and the roster and everything choosing coming out. And I got an opportunity to go up there, and it was a fifth-year senior starting. He had been starting for 3 years. So I was going to go up there, learn as much as I possibly can for him and compete for the spot. And I ended up earning the position and started as a true freshman in Pittsburgh. And, you know, my family is very important to me, very much so. And my father has diabetes, and he was suffering from it bad when I was in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And he eventually had to get his leg amputated. As a true freshman coming out of high school, little mama's boy, straight out of Forest, Virginia, the country, you know, you hear something like that, and it just crushed me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to deal with it other than I wanted to be back home and help take care of my family when I had the choice to. You don't get that many choices in life. You have to deal with circumstances, but you can choose where you go to college. You can choose, you know, who you marry. You can choose what religion you decide to follow. And everything else, you know, kind of falls into place. But I felt my best decision, family comes first, and I wanted to be back at a university that was closer to my home. It's 10 minutes away from my house. Liberty University is 10 minutes away from my house. It is a Christian school, and it has a football program,
right,
which I could still accomplish everything I ever wanted to. I wanted to go to school, get a double major. I got that.
In what?
I wanted to go to sports management and business.
Okay.
And I got a minor in biblical education. And one of the things, I wanted to get my double major. I wanted to play football and get an opportunity to play at the next level. And that's all I wanted to do. And I was able to accomplish that by being at Liberty University. It was tough. You know, you heard a lot of things. Oh, you know, why would you transfer? You was a true freshman. You're starting in Pittsburgh. Things look good. New coaching staff, Coach Wanstead came in, and professional coach, and why would you transfer? And, you know, people didn't understand how important family was to me.
I think that speaks.
And it still is.
I think it speaks a lot about you as a person. Hey, Rashad, can you hang through a commercial break and spend another segment with us?
Yes, sir.
That'd be great. Hey, folks, stick around here. I mean, this is one of the true class acts in this young Jaguars rookie class. And we're going to hear more from him on the other side right after this. Back on Jaguars This Week, right here on excuse me, right here at WOKV Jaguar Central. And I would like to welcome back in Rashad Jennings, the Jaguars rookie running back. And Rashad, thank you for spending the time once again with us. And I'd like to introduce you kind of via the voice here.
Sure.
This is Brian Sexton. He is the voice of the Jaguars, play-by-play guy, and also CBS 47 sports commentator. And so I want to join him in the conversation.
Rashad, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. My question to you is, as you take that step from Liberty to the NFL, is there a learning curve to be a running back? Or is it just, I mean, that's the one position that you can play in this game and not have to necessarily, you know, go through the growing pains that a lot of young football players do at different positions?
It's definitely some growing pains. You have to understand the craft and the art of playing running back in the NFL, and especially in this system, because you're a very big part of the passing game as well. You have to understand how to protect the passer. You have to understand where you are in the concept of the routes. You also have to know what the offensive lineman's scheme is in blocking and understanding their points and understanding where the safeties are going to fit in, the linebackers are going to fit in. You're the eye in the backfield. You're a point in the backfield that you're standing up, and you can see the whole coverage, the defense, the techniques they're using. Like, you have to understand what everybody's job is on a defense so you can fit through the holes. Otherwise, if you're just getting the ball and just taking off running, you're going to run in the back of the people. You're going to be running blind and getting smacked. You got to understand a lot, especially how our coach is teaching the running backs here.
And you've got a fine coach, Kennedy Pullen. I had a conversation with him towards the end of the OTAs, and he's got high expectations of you. What are the expectations of yourself going into the season?
My expectation of myself is first of all, you know, I'm taking everything one baby step at a time. And first things first, I'm still trying to earn a job on this team. I've done nothing but come out here and go through OTAs. And I definitely have to earn a position on this team. I want to earn the respect of the coaching staff, the organization, and my teammates enough to trust me to put me out on that football field and know that I'm here to work and I'm here to help us win football games. And so with that being said, there's a lot of details that goes into that. My conditioning, the way I train, the way I prepare myself for each game, take care of my body, and to let them know I'm here to win. I'm going to stay out of trouble. I'm here just like them, and I have to earn that respect. That's not just going to be given to me. And that's kind of what I expect out of myself. And with that being said, the play on the field will take care of itself if I'm doing those things that I need to do to give myself a chance to be out of air on the football field.
I know you guys talked about Maurice Drew being at the symposium in the last segment. Did you mention to our listeners, to Jeff, that you actually roomed with him for a little while in South Florida while you worked out down with Fred and that group down there?
Yes, sir. That's a huge blessing. And we lived at the same place for a little bit of time, and we got to know each other personally. And, you know, it's funny because I had no idea pre-draft of where I was going to be at. But I'm every day I'm asking them questions. I'm watching Fred Taylor train, Frank Gore train, Thomas Jones train. It was a lot of running backs down there. It was a lot of other position players as well. But I was just focusing on the running backs and watching how they critiqued everything they did and asking questions. You know, I was down there, I was being the rookie. I was asking, you know, do you need some water? You need me to pick up your weights? You need this, you need that. You know, I'm trying to get on their good side to learn as much as I possibly can from these guys. These are the guys I looked at last year and look up to for a very long time to be like, and here I am lifting weights with them. I'm going to ask them everything I possibly can because those are the guys I'm trying to be like on a football field and learn as much as I possibly can.
Now, something
a blessing.
To take people off the football field with you, Rashad, from what I understand, I was talking to Bahati Van Pelt, and he was telling me that you have a lot of interest outside of football, and he said that you're writing a book and learning to play guitar.
Yes, sir.
What kind of a book?
I brought my... The book is called The If in Life. You know, when you spell out the word life, is I-L-I-F-E, and there's an if in it. So the title is The If in Life. And it's just all the decisions that I've seen people make. And I'm very close with my brothers, and this is something that we have talked about for a very long time. We created a ministry back at home. It's called The Wave. And what we do is kind of, we teach each other. Like the way me and you are, we're all talking right now back and forth. We're learning about each other. We're getting to know, you know, a little bit about our backgrounds, where we're coming from, and letting them know situations of your life that's happened. And that if in that life, that if you did this, or if you decided not to do this, or if this, if that, there's always an if in something before anything big or small happens to you. There's nothing in life that can happen without an if, because there's an if in life. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of just to give you a little bit of intriguing to go get the book when it comes out.
All right, so when's the release date?
I'm still working on it. Had to set it aside for a while so I could focus on getting on this team. But, you know, I still jot down stuff every day when I get a chance. And I enjoy playing the guitar. During my college career, you know, I don't drink, smoke, party, or none of that stuff. I'm not saying that I'm not better than anybody, because that doesn't determine anything. I just don't enjoy, you know, drinking. I just don't do it. And I don't smoke. I just made a promise to myself I never would do that. I never have. And so one of the things I did in college with some of the guys, we try to pick up a different craft every semester. You know, whether it's not playing, we try to pick up piano one semester. We try to write with our left hand one semester. I've learned every single card trick that I possibly could learn one semester. And my very last semester, I picked up the guitar. Love it. Love it, love it, love it so much. I just keep playing, learning different chords. Me and the buddies, we'll get together. We'll try to make some songs and, you know, just have a good time, clean fun. And so that's just something I brought down here. When we came down here to OTAs, I got a call, said when OTA started, didn't know what to bring, didn't know how much free time we was going to have, didn't know how many pair of socks, how many drawers to bring. So I packed up a couple pair of drawers, a couple pair of socks, a couple pair of shirts, brought my guitar, computer, a notebook, and a pen. And came down here ready for whatever came at me. So that's just something I do on the weekends and stuff. And even here with the guys, we just play around, play the guitar, mess around, have some fun, go catch a movie, stuff like that.
I got a nickname for you. You know what it is? Mold.
Uh-oh.
Mold. Not as in the spores that get you sick, but mold as in you are the exact mold of the kind of player that Gene Smith is looking for. The kind of guy who is all business, all about football, focused on making the team and doing the right things. Jeff, this is exactly what Gene told us he was looking for, this kind of a guy. It sounds like you're going to fit in great here.
Well, yep. And Rashad, just real quick, because Gene Smith really put an emphasis on character, and it really appears that the entire rookie class that you're surrounded with seems to be cut along the mold like you, and that a lot of guys that have done the right thing so far, they have made the right decisions with their ifs in life. Is that your take on your rookie class?
Yes, sir. It really is. And I just want to thank y'all for that. That's a huge compliment. I really appreciate that.
You've earned it.
Yeah, a lot of guys, we can talk to each other. We have discussions, even on the bus, going down to the symposium and coming back in the weight room. We discuss a lot, whether it's not about, you know, relationships with women, relationships with your parents, relationships with, you know, new and upcoming people. We talk about life all the time. We'll look at a tree and just start talking about how you can get life out of the tree. Just a little silly stuff. We have a blast. We some dorks. We goofy. But, you know, it's all clean fun. You can have so much fun. It's fun is that you create fun. You can't go find it. You create it. And so we have a blast here, and everybody's focused. We're all pushing each other very hard.
Folks, I think
if
you have been listening to this interview like Jeff and I have, you have got to have an energy level for the kind of young men who are coming in here this year, because Gene Smith sat out on a new course, and now Jack Del Rio gets to put him on the football field and apply all of the talents that we've just heard about.
Rashad, thanks for spending the time with us, and look forward to meeting you at training camp and watching you put the pads on and talking with you many times in the future.
I really appreciate the time. Anytime. I enjoy it.
All right. That's Rashad Jennings, the Jaguar 7th round pick from Liberty. a guy who the Jaguars personnel folks were very surprised was on the board when the third round was complete back in April. We'll take a short break, come back, and have one more segment with you here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Jaguars fans, be sure to log on to Jaguars.com and play AMC Theaters Movie Trivia Challenge. Your chance to win free movie tickets and more. Welcome back. One more segment. Jaguars This Week on a Wednesday evening, 1st of July. Welcome to the last month before training camp begins.
How good is Rashad Jennings?
Look, if he can play,
folks, if he can
as well as he talks.
Play, I mean, this is a dream player. I mean, really.
It's exactly what Gene was going for when he set out his mold, what he was going to create.
I mean, he's got everything. I mean, he's not going to be a player that you worry about getting in trouble. From what they've seen so far in the OTAs, I mean, folks,
there's a lot that they like.
I mean, there is a lot that they like, and I remember watching them pretty closely for like three practices towards the end there, and I was so impressed I had to go and say, hey, Kennedy Pola, you know, the running backs coach, said, am I just seeing something that's not there, or does this guy look really good? And he was like, oh, yeah, he looks good. So I kind of got it confirmed, you know, and so.
Our friend John is over in Keystone Heights. He wants to weigh in on young Rashad Jennings. What's going on tonight, John?
Hey, this is the second time I've heard him interviewed. The other was on a competing radio station. But the guy's amazing. I mean, you know, if he's an example of what we got, I mean, we've got to be impressed. I mean, I'm impressed with him totally. I just can't believe, you know, he seems to be the person that we all wanted. Really,
yeah.
if you know what I mean.
Well, and you know the real key to this, John.
Yeah,
is making, you know, you want him to be a good football player.
Oh yeah, yeah, and I mean, yeah, the way he talks and everything else, he's gonna if he doesn't make it, it's not because he didn't try. That's for sure.
Well, and people like that, how can you not help but root for somebody like that? I mean, those are the people that you want to see succeed in life and succeed on the field.
Right.
And everything else that they do. And so, boy, I can't wait to see him play because when you watch him in OTAs, as I said earlier, he looked really good. And Kennedy made a real good point to me, and he said, hey, look, wait till you see this guy get pads on because he's a big body.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the big guys don't look all that good until the pads come on.
Right.
Well, he's looked good without the pads, and so you would think that with his size, when the pads do go on, he looks that much more impressive.
I can't wait to see him, and also can't think of his name. The kid that was the quarterback that they made tight end because I hear nothing good.
Zach Miller
about him too.
Yeah,
Miller.
And
he signed
today. I believe it was yesterday,
2 days ago, Monday. Signed
great.
And done
great.
Deal.
Thanks, guys.
See you later, John. You know that's interesting. I was going there anyway about them getting him under contract, and not just him, but the fact that now is the business season. Now is the time of year where Paul Vance and Gene Smith and Tim Walsh get together and they negotiate the contracts. They get the deals done.
Yeah, and you hope that and it's kind of surprising that they got Zach Miller done ahead of the 4th of July because, you know, usually the 4th of July is kind of the kickoff after, you know, to all
right.
of that. And so to get one deal done before the 4th of July, that's setting up nice.
I could be wrong on this, but the Giants signed another player in the last 24 hours. I think they have everybody but their first and second round picks done.
The Giants do.
The Giants do. I think there's a number of teams.
Well, you remember there was a day when the Jaguars had all of them signed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, when was that? When did they have them signed?
All the same day, May of 1995.
Yeah, it was May.
They got the deals done, and they lined them all up, and bang, 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 bang. Of course, that was the early days of the of the salary cap and the rookie cap that was there, and it was pretty cut and dry.
Well, no, there wasn't a whole lot of loopholes established.
Right. No one was circumventing it. They knew what the rookies were going to make. They put the deals together. They got it done. I'll never forget it. They had it over here in what was the family waiting room. They lined them all up. It was, a different, as you can say now, that was a different era.
Yeah, it's a little different.
It was only
different.
15 years ago, 14 years ago, but
yeah,
it's a
but
different
I,
era.
I, you know, I really like what I'm seeing in this draft class. You know, from watching them in helmets and shorts to talking with the few that I have, which I've talked to about four of the rookies so
right.
far. But, you know, I really, when there's OTAs, I watch some of the stuff on the field, but you also kind of say, okay, it's, you know, it's not in pads. But the thing that I really look for is how a young player interacts with the coaches, how he interacts with the veterans, and how he interacts with the other fellow rookies. And I don't think I've seen anything that I haven't liked yet. Now, there's kind of one that I'm, you know, I need to see a little bit more on.
Who?
Our defensive tackle from Temple.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen anything bad.
Terrence Knighton.
But I want to see a little more sense of urgency and effort on the practice field. That's the only one that I would say that, you know, what I've seen so far hasn't
but
got
it's important.
Me super excited.
It's important.
But he's a big guy.
Because A, he's a big guy. B, the other big guy, John Henderson, has not had a complete spring.